Hey, welcome to Devotions from Calvary Podcast, where truth is revealed and Christ is exalted. I'm your host, Greg Steinke, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Troy, Ohio. Thank you for joining me today for another episode. We have been looking at several episodes, four subjects that you don't want to miss, and I hope that these are help to you and encouragement, maybe kind of stir your mind a little bit of what the Bible says. And I hope that you might be sharing these devotions with your family and friends as well. You can go to our Facebook page, Devotions from Calvary Facebook, and you can join and you can watch these videos as well. And I hope that they'll be a blessing to you. And I'd like to reach as many homes as possible with the truth of Scripture. So if you would please share these with them and with your family and friends, and I would appreciate that so very much. You know, we are looking at several subjects. We're looking at faith, and we're looking at salvation. We're looking at works, and we're even looking at purgatory, which is a very, very intricate and touchy subject. And we want to identify them in Scripture. And it's all about, honestly, what the Bible says. I think that you would agree with me. I hope that you would agree with me. It's about what the Bible says. It's not necessarily about what we have been taught in the churches, and certainly every church needs to follow what the Bible says as the authority of all faith and practice, but sometimes a church or a church leader, church pastor, church priest will also begin to contort, and this happens over time. It happens over generations. It happens over different reasonings, and so we want to make sure what the Bible says so that we can know the truth. We are going to set aside all of our opinions, okay? All church teachings. So just do this, all generational traditions. And let's just find out what the Bible says, because I think what the Bible talks about and what the Word of God says, it ought to line up with all supporting Scriptures, and it'll bring out the truth. Remember, the Bible reveals itself, okay? And we cannot take one verse out of the Bible and say, well, this is what it says, without looking at other verses and other passages to support that, and to really rule out contradiction. So keep in mind, listener, that believing in something does not always mean that we are believing in the truth, okay? All right? You can believe the world is flat, but that doesn't mean it's true. The world is not flat. So we have to be so very careful. We want to discover the truths in the Bible, and especially on these four subjects, faith, salvation, works, and then purgatory. If you have missed... let me just say this. If you missed some of the devotions, the beginning devotions on this subject, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to them, or go to our Facebook page and watch them as they are progressing subjects, all right? They build upon one another. They're layers. So we want to make sure that we really set the foundation in the beginning, and so we know how we are progressing through this. We left off last episode with a question or a wonder, I suppose. If there was a contradiction in Scripture, okay, are works involved in salvation? And part of that work would mean baptism. Does baptism have anything to do with salvation? And really, in some beliefs, baptism itself is salvation. Now, what does the Bible say? Does the Bible teach this, or does the Bible not teach this? So with that in mind, I think we need to take a look at that. Now, let me preface this episode with Romans 8:1, it tells us there is now therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Now, I emphasize in Christ Jesus because, here's a reason, because that's a position, all right? If you are a grammatical individual, in is a preposition, and the prepositional phrase is in Christ Jesus, which means a position, a placement, all right? An association. Now, Paul says there's no condemnation. Condemnation means that there is no more judgment of the sins that we have that would be separating us from the love of God, and that would be really an oncoming eternal punishment, and that would be the condemnation. Now, the eternal punishment would be for those that would await them who are outside of Christ, but he says that those that are in Christ, there is no condemnation, and the change seems to be for those that are in Christ. So how does that take place? How does in Christ take place? Well, we have to understand that it's only through and by salvation, a true repentance, and it's a true trust, salvation is, in Christ as a pure and spotless penalty for our sins. That is a true salvation. When you and I trust in the Christ that paid for our sins, knowing that we are in need of a Savior, and without Him, we have eternal punishment or eternal condemnation. But for those that are in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. Okay? So, I need to be saved in order to miss the judgment. I need to be saved in order to miss condemnation. And the belief in many hearts is that of two things. How do I get saved? And is baptism a part of salvation? Do I need to be saved to be baptized? Or do I need to be baptized in order to be saved? Or do I need to do works in order to receive the benefits upon the completion of my salvation? Where some would say that you need to be saved initially. The initial grace of God, the initial grace of salvation is given to you. And some would say at the moment of a infant baptism that the initial grace of God or the initial salvation has been given to you, but now through your supposedly Christian life, you have to now complete and fulfill the rest of your salvation through works, through deeds, through doing this and doing that, which would add to what Christ already did, which doesn't make sense. So, I mean, it's a valid question, which kind of rolls around in the minds of many like a marble full of bag or a bag full of marbles. How about that? But if you are thinking this, I mean you're rowing in a boat in a direction that is just going to lead you to a waterfall of disasters. That's the case. If you think that baptism or works have to do anything with salvation, then you're being misled. And if that's the case, then you'll never have a rest of truly being saved. There'll always be a state of I've got to maintain. Do this and do that? How do I know that I'm complete? How do I know that salvation is there for me? How do I know that I'm even going to be in heaven when I die if I have to do this and this and this and this? And knowing that I will never be good enough to do all of these things, I'll never be good enough to complete all these rules and regulations and so on and so forth. And so you're nothing more than a worrier. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a spirit of sound mind. And that is through salvation. But let me back up here. Is baptism considered a way of salvation? Is it an action of works in order to receive salvation? Now, Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, in many regards, some would say that this verse states that we need to be baptized for salvation because he says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, is that the case? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? I like to ask questions and try to answer them. I think we ask questions, we can get more answers. But is this the case? Do I need to believe and be baptized in order to be saved? But he says that he that believeth not shall be damned. So, I mean, several things are wrong with that theology if you're thinking that you need to be baptized for salvation. Number one, the verse does not separate baptism. It separates belief. All right? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not is damned. So he separates belief. He doesn't separate baptism because he doesn't use the phrase baptism afterwards, or he would have. But he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned. He doesn't say that. He separates belief. All right? He separates belief. Non-believing brings a condemnation, a judgment, a damning, meaning a punishment in hell. The issue is that Christ never mentioned that he believeth not. Now, you see, the outcome hinges on the belief. It's the belief in that verse, not the baptism. And by the way, this baptism is not a water baptism. I'm going to explain that to you. It's not a water baptism, which we relate to this verse. All right? It is a spiritual baptism. This baptism is made known to the disciples prior to the ascension of Christ and even prior to even Christ coming in his ministry. In the book of John, in chapter number 1, verse 33, it says, "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. The same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost." Okay, now there's a word baptizing. And that is a spiritual baptism. That is the baptism of through salvation that Christ, that we are placed into Christ, even as we just read, that we are in Christ. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ, and that is done through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, even as John 1:33 says. Mark 1:8 says the same thing. "I indeed have baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost." All right? So here we find that there's an instrument being used, and that is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, synonymous name, that through the Holy Ghost, we are baptized into Christ, and that is through salvation. That's what Mark was saying. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, baptized with the Holy Ghost, not water baptism, but baptized spiritually with the Holy Ghost shall be saved. This is a simultaneous action that takes place upon the moment of salvation. When you and I are saved, we are then placed in Christ, and that is a baptism into Christ, all right? Baptism into Christ. If you do a little word study and just type in, if you have a Bible application app on your phone or on your computer, you type in the two words, in Christ, and in the New Testament, you'll find numerous verses that would say in Christ. And you read those, and it's a position that is done through the Holy Spirit, baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. And because of that, we are in Christ, and therefore there is no condemnation. Christ makes a reference to John's water baptism in Acts 1:5. He says, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So even Christ said, yeah, you were baptized with water, but that didn't bring salvation. Salvation comes through the baptism of the Holy Ghost upon believing me. All right? So there is no contradiction if we believe that Mark tells us in Mark 16 that we need to be baptized in order to be saved, then we are taking that verse out of context, where that verse specifically says that when we are saved and baptized, that is an indication of the Holy Spirit's work that we are placed in Christ. All right? So this baptism is a placement, not an outward action, but an inward action produced by the Holy Spirit upon the reception of salvation. Paul mentioned to the church in Corinth that therefore if any man be in Christ, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, there's that position, there's that placement. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Paul also mentioned in Acts 19:4, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So even Paul said, yes, you are baptized with the water in association with the message of the Messiah to come. Afterwards, they must believe in Christ, who would become the sacrifice of their sins, even as John mentioned, that he is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But there's no mention of baptism to be saved, all right? They were baptized unto the repentance of the message that John was saying, that there is one that cometh after me, whose shoe laces I am not even worthy to tie or untie. He said, that's the one that you should believe on. You're believing on this message right now, but there comes one that you need to believe, even as Paul mentioned, that you should believe on him which cometh after, that is on Christ Jesus. Now, there's no mention of baptism to be saved. No mention of water baptism, even as a part of salvation, but a true belief that is only by Christ. Only through Christ, only in Christ, that's the only way that we have eternal life. That's the only way we have salvation. During the ministry of Philip, back in Acts chapter number 7 and Acts chapter number 8, God sent him to an Ethiopian eunuch that was sitting in the chariot reading out of Isaiah. And the Ethiopian eunuch had no idea to whom it was speaking about. And so Philip was able to say, do you understand who you're reading about? Do you understand what thou readest? And he says, how can I except some man guide me, some man teach me? So Philip did. He shared with him the words of God, in Isaiah, explained to him that it was Christ to whom died on the cross, the sacrifice, the very Son of God, the Messiah, the King of Kings. He explained that to him. And I would imagine that in his heart, he believed. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. So there is a separation, all right? Why do you want to get baptized? Baptized with, for what reason? All right. He wanted to believe. He believed that Jesus was this man that to whom Philip was talking about. He believed that Jesus was the Messiah. So Philip was associating with that message. But Philip said, or the Ethiopian eunuch was associating himself with that message. But Philip said, but you need to believe in your heart. And the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then upon that confession and that profession of belief, he was then baptized to associate or to signify or to demonstrate his trust in Christ. They are separate actions, all right? That was a water baptism. Belief is what's needed. Baptism associates you with that belief. It's an outward expression of an inward belief. It's a picture of us dying to ourselves and living unto Christ. Baptism does not save anyone. Baptism, according to the Word of God and your Bible, is an outward action and testimony of the inward belief of the heart for salvation. Now, if you're taught that baptism is salvation, then, dear friend, that goes against Scripture. If you're taught that baptism is necessary for salvation to take place, then again, ask the thief on the cross. Ask the thief on the cross when he was baptized. He was not. Some would argue and say, well, he was baptized before he got on the cross. No, he was a thief. He was in prison. He was in shackles. He was never baptized. He was never a believer. Matter of fact, while he was on the cross, he even railed along with the other thief until he realized that he was the Son of God. And when he realized that he was the Son of God, that what he had heard about, what he had seen with his own eyes, witnessed, believed. And he said, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. And Christ said to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Christ knew the heart of the man. Christ knew he was absolutely in total belief that he was the Son of God. And Christ then saved him. All right? There's no baptism. There are numerous verses, a multitude of supporting scriptures in its proper context that will prove beyond question that baptism does not save, nor is it a part of your eternal security, the water baptism. The spiritual baptism is done by the Holy Spirit, placing us into Christ upon salvation. Water baptism is an outward expression of the inward involvement, of the inward decision. It is a visual testimony. It is a bodily expression. It is a promise that we are buried with him, and now I am promising before you that are watching, you that are testifying, that I'm going to walk in a new life, even as Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, that is like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. So, my life, after receiving Christ as my Savior, I am baptized as a complete picture of submission, of dedication, of devotion to walk in the new life by which we received through Christ our Lord by trusting in him. So baptism has nothing to do with our salvation. It has nothing to do with our eternity. It is when I talk about baptism, I'm speaking about water baptism, the Holy Spirit does his work. When we are saved, we are baptized, we are put in, we are placed in, positioned in Christ. The water baptism is an outward expression of what took place inside. It is an outward testimony, it's an outward picture, it's an outward display among others that they might witness against you, and you are there as a visual promise that I am going to walk in a new life. I've trusted Christ as my Savior, and now I'm dying to my old self. Now I'm going to raise up, and I'm going to walk a life that is pleasing to God. That's what water baptism is. Now, you can ask your pastor, you can ask your priest about these verses and have them explain it to you, but I'd encourage you to go into your own Bible. Study this on your own. Know what the Scripture says. Not the church tradition, not the generational philosophy, but what the Bible says. What does the Word of God say concerning these subjects? And what I've shared with you, they were all in context. Nothing was taken out of context. I share with you different verses from different places, and there was no contradiction. I hope it's a help to you. Salvation and baptism are separate. Baptism is an outward display. of an inward change. May God help us. Thanks for joining me today. I'm Greg Steinke, the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church here in Troy, Ohio. And join our media family on our Facebook and YouTube. You go to my devotions from Calvary on Facebook, and you can watch that and the videos on there, and be notified. You like and follow. Every time that we put out another devotion, you can be notified with that. But please share these with your family and your friends, and help us reach many homes as we want to. All right? Well, if you have any questions, you can email me at pastor@calvarytroy.com, and I'll answer you accordingly and as quick as I can. But thanks for joining me for this episode, and looking forward to the next episode to come. Hey, listen, I hope to see you here at the church sometime, or I'll see you online. Lord bless you.